Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Wake Up with Hope. And I have a word from the Lord for you today, as we do every time we go on this podcast, because God is speaking to us and it's time for us to listen. And when we begin our day with the Lord, it will completely impact everything that we do. So, Lord, I thank you and praise you for what you're going to do in this podcast this morning. I thank you for everyone that is joining me live and those who will listen to the replay. I pray that this word will burn in our heart and bring us back to life. Those who have been asleep, we will be revived. We pray for America, and I thank you, Lord, that this nation is at a crossroads like never before. But you will ignite a passion and a fire in your people again. And we will see the victory over our enemies. So we glorify you and thank you for this word. In Jesus' holy name, amen. I want to read a portion of scripture this morning from 2 Chronicles 20. Bear with me because it's going to be a few moments here of reading as we go through this very important passage of scripture that we all need to look at prophetically, because this is the word for our nation at this very moment. In 2 Chronicles 20, we find that Judah is being surrounded and they are about to be attacked. So you look at this small nation of Israel, okay, and you think about how God has always used them to withstand the greatest enemies. And they have always been outnumbered. It seems like there would be no hope, but the God of Israel would fight for this nation, and they would get the victory. But here we find a circumstance in which everything seems completely impossible. So I'm going to begin reading at verse 1, again, 2 Chronicles 20, if you want to follow me. Now, it came to pass after this that the Moabites and Ammonites came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then it was reported to Jehoshaphat that a great multitude has come against you from beyond the Dead Sea in Syria. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid. He feared. So note this. He gets the bad news. They're being surrounded by many armies and way outnumbered. And what happens? The first thing that strikes in his heart is fear. And that right now is really what's in the heart of many Americans, because we look at our condition and we wonder if we're going to make it. If we were to turn on the news today and we heard that the Russians and the Chinese were surrounding us and we were outnumbered, would we not be fearing? That's the first thing that people encounter. And here's the leader. Jehoshaphat was afraid. But what did he do? Did he cower and hide? What did he do when he felt the fear come? And he determined to seek the Lord. Note that. He determined to seek the Lord. And so he calls a fast throughout the entire land. Now look at this president. He sees the fact that they're outnumbered. There's no way they can defeat all these armies. He feels the fear coming upon him that his nation is going to be overtaken. So what does he do? He seeks the Lord. He makes it a point that he's going to call upon the Lord. And he tells everybody in the nation of Judah, everybody's going to fast. And so the people gather together to seek help from what? From the military? To seek help from what? The guns they have stored in their homes? To seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord with all their heart. Now, I want to put this in a modern-day perspective for you. Think about the threats on our nation, especially right now with who is supposedly the president, we are wide open for an attack. And we're actually being attacked right now because we have internal attacks from those who are supposed to love this nation but really hate this nation. And so there's a war between good and evil going on for the heart of this nation. Now, when you look at this picture, it is so prophetic of where we are right now. And this is a true story. Obviously, it's in the Bible. It actually happened. But it's happening right now to us. And if we had a leader that was a God-fearing man or woman, in times of trouble and distress, that they would call a fast and declare for the whole nation, all 50 states, you're fasting and you're praying, and we're going to seek God. What would that look like? Well, that's how we began. That's how our nation began. But look how far away we are from that right now. We're too busy with the honoring of things that are against God than we are honoring the God who helped this nation be the greatest nation. So the people gathered together to seek the Lord. They came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord with all their heart. And they were fasting and praying. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord in front of the court and said, "Oh Lord," note this, this is the leader. "Oh Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand. There is no one able to stand against you." Note that. So he calls out to God, "Aren't you the God of heaven and earth? Don't you rule over everything? Isn't power and might in your hand? Who is able to withstand you? Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? They lived in it, and they have built you a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If evil comes on us, or the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand before this house, and we will stand before you, and we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear and save us.'" Has anybody heard any reporter or any newscaster say these words to you lately? Who is using their voice and platform to tell America about God saving the nation, about God intervening? "Now, behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not allow Israel to invade when they came to the land of Egypt, here they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us as an inheritance." Oh, I have to stop here. If you can't see the writing on the wall from this, then you're really spiritually blind, because it is right in front of us. Parallel this to who we are today as America. They are coming to drive us out of your possession. What is the liberal woke agenda about? To drive us out of the possession that God has given us as an inheritance. Our founding fathers prayed over this nation. America's soil was birthed in prayer, was seeded in prayer and reading of the Bible. The word is in our Constitution. Are you listening this morning? Here we are, supposedly one nation under God. But today we have many gods. And The agenda is to drive out our God from this land and to wipe out the memory of what this nation was birthed to be and bring in the complete opposite of what our founding fathers prayed for. The pilgrims who came to worship God. The fact that this nation began as a church, they came to worship. And look at where we are today. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? Note this. For we are powerless against this great multitude which is coming against us. Do you feel powerless against all that's happening? Look at the senators that we vote for. Look at the politicians. Look at the conservatives. Where are their voices? Why can't they do anything? Why is it always the other side that gains the ground, that changes the laws? And here we have all these conservatives, and we can't get it done. We are powerless against this great evil that has come against us. And that is exactly where we are. We're so powerless. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And that is the ticket right there. That is your answer. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. So we're looking at the family unit here. And everybody's praying, and everybody's fasting. So note that. If we had this happening right now, if everyone who calls himself a Christian will pray, get the family to fast, and pray for this nation, even if we all did it for one day, 2 days, 5 days, you don't think God will hear an answer? You don't think God's going to turn things around? But we're not. We're sitting there fearing what's happening. I don't want to go outside. I might get killed. I can't go down the street. You never know what could happen. I don't want to fly in an airplane. Ooh, fear. We could be hijacked. I don't want to travel. Something bad could happen. Look at what's happening all over the country right now. So what do? We turn on the news and we get more fear and more fear. And we just look at the condition and we shake our head and we stay in our little homes and we do nothing. But what is God saying? You're going to have to get on your knees and pray for your nation and your life and your children and your grandchildren and your inheritance and your generations to come. But we have been in a standstill. We have not been praying. We have not been on our face before God against these enemies, and they have been getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And note this, we are powerless. And I think that's how a lot of our politicians feel. They're powerless. They're in fear. Their homes will be jeopardized. Their families will be jeopardized. They'll be threatened, death threats. Why? Because the enemy is so strong against them. Have you thought about this? That they have the edge in every single area. I was talking to my friend Pastor David Johnson yesterday, and he mentioned this, and I said, you know what, you are so right. They have the edge in the news. Think about it. Think about this enemy, this liberal agenda. They have the edge against the news. They have the edge in the news. They have the edge against us in the economy. Look at the stock market. They have the edge in the stock market. They control that. They control the gas prices. They control the food supply. They control the medical and the education. They control the schools. They control the social media. They've got the edge on everything. Have you thought that through? No matter what you want to do, they have the upper hand. They have a way of running things. They're removing the small businesses. They don't want the capital. They don't want capitalism. They want us to be under government rule. And so you think about the freedom that you have, it is being taken away. Do you know that when I began to really get on my platform to pray for the last election, that we were gaining such momentum, and all of a sudden one day I had 4 views. It went from tens of thousands to nothing. Why? Because they don't like what I was saying. They have the power to shut down my voice on social media. So no matter what you do, a friend of mine I was talking to the other day said that he was watching, I think, David Jeremiah and or some pastor, and at one part they were talking about something about this economy and the nation and the liberals, and YouTube muted it and literally took that part out and then brought back the end of his message. You know what I'm talking about? And it's happening over and over and over and over. You'll be censored. You'll be shadow banned. So no matter what you're doing, they have the edge. Note this. We are powerless against this great multitude. We are. Aren't we powerless against them? In the natural, we are. Because they've got the edge in every area of this nation, except they don't have God. Now, that's your trump card. They have the edge over everything, but they don't have God. They may have the power over all things you see and touch, but they don't have the power of God. So when are we going to go to the power that will overpower and overthrow them? If we can't go to God, we're going to lose this battle, and that's the dilemma that America's in right now. And as much as I love the conservatives and I love what we believe in, we are not echoing the word of God, and we are not proclaiming that this nation needs to fast and pray. Now listen, I love many of those wonderful men and women that I believe are of God that are fighting for this nation. But we need politicians that will say, listen, I'm representing my state and I'm calling this state to fast and pray. Now, everybody didn't have to do it, but those of you that are Christians and believe in the God that started this nation, the God that really was our founding father, hello, I want you to fast and pray with me for 1 week. If I was a politician, if I was Senator Cruz for Texas, that's exactly what I'd be doing. And he would get Texans behind him to do it. If I was in the governor, like DeSantis, I would say, look, I'm calling the state of Florida right now to fast and pray. We have got to come back to what God has instituted and bring it back to this nation, and God will hear when we pray. And you add a fast to your prayer, you get more power. And this is exactly, listen, Jehoshaphat knew exactly what to do. We have not run to God. We are running to politicians. We are running to this and running to that, and we better run to God or we're not going to win this war, because they've got the upper hand on everything, but they can't control our God. Hallelujah. They may have everything in the natural, but they don't have God. God is not on their side. And if we come to God, God will beat them down. God will destroy their plans. God will turn this nation around. But if we don't pray, he's not moving. And it's quite simple. And I would venture to say that everybody on this phone call is guilty in some degree of not really interceding for this nation. We are too busy with our own world and our own lives and our own troubles and our children and our money and our problems, and we've got to start thinking corporate. We've got to start coming back to the place that God called us to be on our face before Him. And this is exactly what this story is about. This is exactly what happened right here. And God is speaking to us. Remember, His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His word will speak to every generation. So everybody stands up and prays. Everybody's interceding. Kids, men, women, children, teenagers, young, old, everybody. Now look at verse 14. In the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gehaziel. Who is Gehaziel? A Levite of the sons of Asaph. You know what the name Gehaziel means? He will be seen of God. He who God watches over. Note that. So the man now that the Spirit of God is going to come on is a Levite. The Levite, you know, is a priest. He's of the priesthood of God. We are kings and priests unto the Lord. And his name means He who God watches over. So now he's going to speak up. And he says, listen, all of you people of Judah. Listen, you inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Now he's going to prophesy. The Lord says to you, be not afraid. In other words, don't fear. Don't fear this great multitude. That's what God is saying to us today. Don't fear the woke agenda. Don't fear the great multitude of liberals, for the battle is not yours. It's God's. Go down against them. Behold, they will come up at the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the river valley and in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. Note verse 17. You need not fight this battle. Take your possessions. Stand. And witness the salvation of the Lord who is with you. I love that. I need to look at that in the King James. Let's see. It's verse 17. Oh, I just love this. Note again what it said. You will not need to fight this battle. Set yourselves and stand still. Note this in the King James. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Does that ring a bell to you? Have you heard that before? It's the same thing that was spoken when the Israelites were facing the Red Sea in front of them and the Egyptians behind them. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, because everybody's in fear. But only when you get on your face will you stand still before God, and you will see His salvation instead of seeing your enemy. It's a different vision. What do you see? Remember that message I ministered here on this podcast just a week or two ago? What are you seeing? Stand still and see the salvation. What does the name Yahshua mean? What does the name Jesus mean? Salvation. Jesus is with you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go down against him, for the Lord is with you. Note that. The Lord is not with our enemies. The Lord is with us. Jehoshaphat bowed with his face down. He bowed to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and worshiped him. And then the Levites stood up to praise the Lord. Note this, with a very loud voice. You know, people go to some churches and, we barely open our mouths to worship. No, this is a loud voice. You need to open your mouth and sing and worship God. Turn your music up. You need to start listening to Judy Jacob's song. These are the days of Elijah. And you need to declare that. It's a battle song. There's no God like Jehovah. And this is the point in which they are declaring, there's no God like Jehovah. Our God will set us free and deliver us from this enemy. So Jehoshaphat bows his face to the ground, and everybody comes down to the ground. Note that. All fall to the ground and worship God, and that is what we need. We need to get on our knees and bow our face to the ground in prayer and in worship. So now we see the worshiping happening, and they're singing and crying out with a loud voice. Imagine that worship session. Worship precedes the victory. Prayer precedes the victory. So look at verse 20, what happens now? They got up early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe and trust in the Lord, and you will be secure." I love that. Believe and trust in the Lord. Believe and trust his prophet. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in their priestly garments as they went out before the army. So note this. The worshipers are going in front of the army and said, praise and give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy and loving kindness endures forever. That's what they're saying. In front of the army. The worshipers are marching in front of the army. I love it. When they began singing and praising. Now, this is the key. I love this. First they're fasting, then they're praying. Now they're worshiping. When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who had come against Judah. And guess what happened? They were struck down in defeat. Hallelujah. How were they struck down? By the hand of God. Why? Because the nation prayed, fasted, and worshiped. There is a power that comes through praise, worship, and prayer. Because when we worship God, you know, worship means to bow self down. And when you worship God, it's an act of surrender. When you worship God, you get your eyes off of your own problems and your own situation, and you stop being selfish and you start seeing God. Because our problem in America today is selfishness. Everything is self-centered. People are self-centered. And God is saying you need to get your eyes off of self and you need to get your eyes on me. So bow to the ground and worship and pray and die to yourself. And when a people can do that, when a nation can do that, that's where things are going to change. I want to pause for a moment. The Lord brought this to mind yesterday. You know, I spent 10 years in New Orleans from 2007 to 2017. And we traveled back and forth from Dallas to New Orleans every month, sometimes 2 to 3 times a month. But we had massive prayer rallies, massive prayer gatherings. We rented out the UNO Arena, Pontchartrain Center, downtown New Orleans, Ernest Morrill Convention Center, and we gathered thousands and prayed for 6 to 8 hours. We would have these massive prayer gatherings on special occasions during the year, and it never, ever failed that God would move. The day we prayed, instantly, the presence of God would take over the city. And you know what New Orleans is going through now, because no one has picked up this mantle. People aren't doing this. I don't understand it. We raised up people. We trained people. I showed people how to do it, but you've got to continue the work. And so now New Orleans is in the news because they're ranking pretty high in the murder rate and the crime rate, but not in the prayer rate. That doesn't mean we don't have people praying, but where are the corporate gatherings? We have to have it. See, God moves when people gather. Not that he doesn't move in individual lives. Of course he does. But there is a power when we come together because we're the body of Christ and we should be together. Do you know that instantly, I was talking to Pastor David Johnson about this yesterday, instantly the presence of God would overtake the city and people couldn't kill and they couldn't steal and they couldn't commit a crime. Why? Because the force of God, the power of God overtook the demonic force on them. That's exactly why. I remember the headlines one weekend that this reporter put in the Times-Picayune. He wrote this and he put this in the headlines. Crime took a breather. No killings over the weekend in New Orleans. Well, we had prayed that weekend. And then he said, maybe it was the football game. And I picked up the phone and called him. And I said, where have you been? The football game? How dare you give the football game the credit for the when it was the people of God that prayed? You see, God always moved every time we gathered. I remember one of the last prayer gatherings we had at the Pontchartrain Center. The entire month, there were only two murders versus about two murders or more a day. What happened? God's presence came in, and he began to move. And if we will look at the pattern, and if every city in America, big or small, would gather to pray, we can overtake this giant in our way because our God will get involved. But if we don't pray, he's not going to move. It's pretty simple, and it's spelled out very clearly for all of us to see. So now God comes on the scene. All the people do is worship. Nobody's got a gun. Nobody's got a bow and arrow. Nobody's got a sword. Though I'm sure they were prepared. They didn't even have to use it. Look, all they had to do was worship and pray. And it brought God, Jehovah Sabaoth, that's the Lord of armies, on the scene. And note this, the Lord set ambushes against them and struck them down. They were struck down in defeat. Why were they struck down? Who was behind their defeat? The Lord. They rose up and they completely destroyed one another. So think this through for a moment. They turned on themselves. All these enemies started fighting each other. And here's Jehoshaphat and Israel watching this battle while they don't even have to shoot a bow and arrow. They don't have to shoot an arrow. They don't have to pull out a sword. They're worshiping God. And the whole time, can you envision this? The whole time they're worshiping God is having the enemy turn against each other and they're killing themselves. What a battle that must have been. Here you prepared for war and God just steps in and he turns the enemy against himself by prayer and by worship. You think God won't do that again? You think God doesn't have the power to take this demonic woke society and this evil government and turn them against themselves? You don't think God has the power to expose and uproot and remove? Then you don't know my God. Because I'm telling every one of you today, if we will gather and really pray, our God will get in the midst of this war in our nation, and he will remove and destroy our enemies from our path, and he will turn this around. But sometimes it has to get really bad before people pray, because we're just so conservative and we just don't say anything. It's time to open your mouth and say something. You know, there was this young man, and his name escapes me right now. Good looking, young, I don't know if he was in college, he was 18, 19, 20 years old. And because he was standing up, I don't know, it was somewhere outside. I didn't hear the details of the story. I remember just getting it on the headlines, because I don't feed a lot on the news intentionally. I just hear what I need to and go to pray. But it was baffling to me that this evil man who didn't want to hear anything conservative basically ran over him with his vehicle. Now, the news carried that for maybe 2, 3, 4 days. Where were the Christians? Where were the conservatives? Where are the senators? Who is standing up for that young man who lost his life? Huh. Now, if that was a Democrat, a liberal, do you realize we'd still be hearing about it right now? There'd be riots in the streets. There'd be looting. There'd be killings. There would be outbursts in every city in this nation. But not for him. Where were the voices? Now, I'm not saying we need to go do things like that. Of course not. But why aren't we gathering in honor of this young man who lost his life? Why aren't we going to the house of the guy who ran over him? Why aren't we making a scene? Because we're conservatives and we just sit back and let the devil continue to move, and we cannot do that anymore. I'm on my soapbox this morning, but you should be outraged at this, and it should put a fire in you to open your mouth. It amazes me, the politicians we have. Why can't somebody lead the charge on this? We're just going to forget him now. Oh, well, now we have to go to the next segment of the news, and we forget. We can't forget. Look what happened during the pandemic. Look at what happened when different people were killed. The masses that came and all that happened in our streets. But we conservative people can't even stand up for an innocent young man that lost his life standing up for truth. Shame on all of us. And I'm telling you, things have to change. We've got to voice in prayer, but we also have to vote and stand up for what's right. And we can't just sit back. And this is why we are where we are. Do you know that the temperature of every nation depends on the temperature of the church? And it shows you how below standard we have come. We have allowed this evil. Pastors are not calling prayer meetings like they used to. Why? Because we're too busy building the better building, a bigger building, getting more people, getting them a Starbucks, making them comfortable, and we're losing the battle. Look around and you will see. Now, our kids are being infiltrated at young kindergarten, first grade ages with this gender issue. And now we're inviting all of this in and twisting the minds of how God created us to be. Now you don't know if you're a man or you're a woman. You can be what you want. No, that's not what the Bible says. Whatever you're born with beneath your belt is who you are, period. God didn't change his mind on that. So we have changed his laws, rewritten things, twisted it, spit in his face. This is America? Our founding fathers, what would they do if they were to come back here today they would not even know this was America. What if the pilgrims got to pay us a visit? They would have no clue what was going on here. This is not what God established. And if we do not do something about it, we're going to lose this nation. It is that, this is where we are. It is that dangerous. It is that important. You have no idea how close you are to losing your freedom. And we have to make a stand against it. And that is by prayer, by fasting, by worship, and voting. Standing up for truth and not backing down because I fear somebody may come and, you know, harm me. Listen, at least you, if you die in the battle, at least you died for God. You rather do that or you want to just hide in your house? It is time for us to be bold, and it is time for us to get out of hiding, and it is time for us to stand up for truth, and it's time for us to fight. And fight by our prayers. Fight in the spirit and vote and do the things that God would have us to do. This is how we win this battle. God will be on our side and God will fight it. But we've got to fight too. And again, the greatest weapon you have against the enemy is your prayers. You take out your Bible and you pray the word and you worship and you will see him go down. God will get into the midst of this thing. He'll get in. He'll be on the scene. But he's not moving if you're not praying. And it's clearly written out in this story. Now let's wrap up. So the enemy turns against himself. They destroy themselves. And when the men of Judah came to the lookout tower of the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. Note that. Not one. When God fights your battle, no enemy is escaping. God will deal with them all. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including equipment, garments, valuable things which they took for themselves, more than they could carry away, so much so that they spent 3 days gathering the spoil. Wow. Note that. There was so much gold and silver, valuables, that they had to take 3 days. Note this, Jehoshaphat and his people, it took them 3 days to gather up the spoil. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, and you see it right here. Not only did God fight this battle, not only did God turn the enemy against themselves, not only did God bring defeat to the enemy, but God gave them a wonderful blessing. They just increased in wealth. When God does a job, he does it all the way. Blessed be his name. On the fourth day, remember, they gathered all the spoils for 3 days. On the fourth day, they gathered and they blessed the Lord. They didn't just take all the money and all the valuables and go back to their homes. Note that. They were now a unit. They were a corporate body. They were linked together. They were joined together through prayer and through worship. Now they were really, there was a bond in the nation. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Baraka, and it was there that they blessed and worshiped and thanked the Lord. For that reason, they named the place the Valley of Baraka, blessing. That's what Baraka means, blessing. Then they returned to Jerusalem, note this, with joy. So they didn't just gather the spoils, get greedy, and go to their home and covet. They gathered the spoils, they met as a congregation, they worshiped and blessed, then they went home. Then they returned to Jerusalem with joy. Joy is jubilee. Remember, we're in the year of jubilee. You have 365 days of joy that God is going to do something and bring the joy. He's going to restore the joy to your life. He's going to deal with the enemy. It's the time of deliverance. It's jubilee. Jubilee means freedom. And they returned to Jerusalem with joy, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, led by Jehoshaphat. For the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the fear of the Lord came upon all the kingdoms. Note that. Instead of them fearing the enemy, now everybody around them is fearing them. We got to turn the tide here. We have to turn this around. And the fear of the Lord came on the kingdoms of this of those countries. And when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel, what? They were fearing now. Because they realized, wait a minute, we can take Israel out, but we can't take Israel out if God is with them. That is key. We will be defeated, and we are being defeated. But not when we rise up and pray. Not when God gets in the match. When God gets in the game, it's over. Because God is going to work wonders in our midst. And the fear of God came on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was quiet. For God gave him rest on all sides. This is so powerful. We got to wrap up this morning. But this is something that we are going to have to pay very close attention to. And I would encourage you to listen to this message again and share it with everybody. How many people right now in your telephone context do you know that are Christians? I would say the majority, if you're a Christian, you probably have the majority of Christian friends. Well, how about you doing something than just sitting here keeping this word for yourself? You share it. You text them. You make a move and you say, listen, I want you to hear this very important message that we all need to really take heed to regarding our nation. And you go to my website, SharonBolin.com. You click on Wake Up with Hope. You find the podcast for titled today, for this date, and you just copy and share. Just share. Share it with everybody. Because we have got to come back to this. Our only hope is in the Lord. I watched a little bit of the news last night because I can't sit and look at it for hours, but I did watch a little bit. And the part that I watched, I heard that the cosmetic retailer, Ulta, I'm sure everybody has heard of them, Ulta, is now engaging in the promotion of some program, I guess. I don't know if this is a TikTok or what. I just saw a glimpse of it that has two men talking about women and one of them that is giving all this advice is a man who is really dressed like a woman. So apparently a transvestite. This man is dressed like a woman, and he's got this following. And he looks like a woman, again, dressed in dress, all of that. And he is telling women about how to be a woman. You talk about outrage. So I thought to myself, I was laying in the bed last night, and I thought, okay, why didn't the person and people that were interviewed about this story not open their mouths and say, boycott Ulta? You know how you win this war? You stand up for righteousness. And when you stand up for righteousness, you stop putting your money where the enemy is. So why today, don't we have people standing in front of Ulta with signs telling them, we're boycotting you until you take that mess down. Until you stop promoting this, you won't get a dime of my money. In fact, I made a decision. I had bought a few things a week ago. I'm going to return them today. And I am not going to patronize Ulta. I will find my makeup elsewhere. If every single person in America who calls themselves a conservative would stop, especially you women, stop buying your makeup, stop shopping at Ulta, I guarantee you their stocks will go down. They will start losing money, and they may just stop doing what they're doing. But you know what? We just think, oh, we roll our eyes and we go back and spend money there. This is why we're losing the battle. We've got to think. We've got to use wisdom. God gave you a brain. Use it. We are so desensitized. We have got to have some kind of morale we live by. We've got to have righteous zeal. And we pray for our enemies. Of course we do, but we don't support them. It's one thing for all these people about love, love, love. Oh, we got to pray for them. Yeah, okay, pray for them. But why are you giving them your money? Pray for them and keep supporting their sin? No, we stop them. And there are enough of us. I promise you, there are more of us than them. And if we would gather together and stop being disconnected, we could make such an impact in this nation. But we need a leader. And I am so at my wit's end. Supporting politicians, senators, congressmen, and why isn't somebody stopping this right now? Where are the voices? Now, I'm going to twist the story just a moment. If instead of what they're promoting, Ulta put out a national video of someone reading their Bible and talking about what a Proverbs 31 woman is, what do you think would be happening right now in America? Huh. Think that through. If Ulta was to put out a video or they were to promote someone who is talking about a Proverbs 31 woman and they got behind that, all hell would break loose today. This would go in every direction all across this nation, and you would see crazy people standing outside Ulta, picketing and you know, destroying Ulta. They may even destroy the whole, you know, retail store because you can't talk to us about Bible. Are y'all following me this morning? Is anybody hearing me? And I hope you email me about this message. And I'll be happy to respond to you because I am at the point, and I don't know about you, but I am sitting here thinking, Lord, if we don't stand up for righteousness, and if we don't seek your face, and we don't get a corporate body to do it, we're not going to win this war. I could go to Ulta this morning, and I can stand there with a sign, or I can put a sign that says, I will not support this transgender agenda. I can stand there, but I'm only one person. But if I go and I've got 100 people with me, then maybe Ulta will pay attention. Now, if I can multiply that and I can get women in every city where there's an Ulta to get out there and protest this, then maybe Ulta will think, wait a minute, something's going on. And then if I can move that and spread it to all 50 states and we can stop supporting them for 30 days, guess what's going to happen? They're going to stop doing that. But we sit here and we shake our head and we'll just go today and buy some more makeup We can't do it like that anymore, y'all. We can't. We can't. We have to draw a line in the sand and say, thus far and no more. I will not support your woke agenda. I will stand for holiness if I have to go without makeup. Who cares? Wear your sunglasses. At the end of the day, we've got to stand up. And we need voices throughout this nation to take a stand of action. God will protect us. God will fight for us. But did God tell Jehoshaphat, sit in your house? They still march to the battlefield. God just handled it. And I feel right now that this is where we are in the spirit. We are now 20 days away from these midterms. And if we lose this, you better get ready because it's going to go down fast. We're already going down. If we do not vote, if we do not take our stand, if we do not pray, it's going to be really bad. So this nation is hanging in the balance, and the outcome is in the hands of every single Christian. Depends on if you pray and you intercede and you vote. Everybody who's a conservative, who's a Christian, and we have a vast majority in this nation, but we're not doing our job. And this is a wake-up call for all of us. Now, I'm going to take this podcast to a video because tonight I'm going to share this on a live. Because we don't have the majority of people on this podcast. We've got to get the message out. And it's time for action. And if we're going to sit here in fear, then God can't use us. Remember when God had to divide Gideon's army? He had to get all the fear mongers out of the way first. And he had to get those who were vigilant, who were watchful. And he dwindled down that army to only 300. We're going to have to find men and women who are bold enough to stand up for righteousness, who wave the flag of America, who believe in the founding fathers' belief on the Bible, prayer. Listen, our first president was a man of prayer. You can listen to all the negative you want and believe lies, but I am telling you, when my parents came to this nation, they had to go through the history books and study to get their citizenship. And I remember the prayers of George Washington. The president that was a humble man, but this man that sought God. The founding fathers, they used to pray in those days. The Bible, you should read some of the quotes. It's straight out of the Bible. Who's quoting the Bible today? Wouldn't it be nice to turn on your television and see some of these conservative, wonderful men and women quoting the Bible before they get off the interview? The only thing you hear is Sean Hannity. Let not your heart be troubled. Okay, listen, we need to move into a dimension of faith and speaking God's word. Oh, that we could come back to that. This is the turning point. And as much as I do love and pray for our men and women who are on the forefront and are fighting for the values of our nation, because there are many of them, I don't believe that what they're doing is complete without an army of men and women praying behind them. Because they may be able to be the spokesperson, work in the government, help restore the value system. But if they are not praying, and if we're not praying for them and behind them, that it's only one-sided. We've got to bring God into this mix. We've got to get God on the battlefield. And I'll end there today. The Lord bless you. Thanks for bearing up with me. I know I've gone way past my 30-minute mark. But this is a very important message for all of us. And we need to seek the Lord. And I believe there are many people on this call this morning, on this podcast. You have ways of gathering people. We can do this. We can gather. We can pray. We can intercede. You know people. You have connections. Maybe there's a building we can get. Maybe some place we can go and meet and pray. And then we can start people getting acclimated. I'm going to put together something. And 14 days before the midterm, I'm going to be leading in prayer and declarations, and we'll be emailing you and giving you strategies on how to pray for this midterms. But we're going to have to do it. It has to be this way. If we do not bring God on the scene, we will not win. But if we pray, we will see God in action. I believe people will go to the polls that we're going to vote, you know, Democrat, and they will vote Republican. I believe God will do something, even in the hearts and minds of people, to have them wake up and see that if we do not vote for conservatives, we're going to lose this nation. And our prayers are instrumental in the decisions of people that are hanging in the balance right now. So there's a lot. I mean, this is a heavy word this morning. I know it is. Probably you didn't expect this for a morning devotional podcast, but it is a much-needed word, and it is a wake-up call for all of us to get back in our position and get back on our knees and cry out to God. And I know He will answer. He always does. He loves to answer. He loves to come to our defense. If my people who are called by my name, He didn't say if just anybody. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, I'll forgive their sin. Because that's the problem. It's a sin problem. I'll heal this land. We need to be healed like never before. America is so divided. We need our land to be healed. We need truth to prevail. You see, the problem we're having is deception. People are deceived, but when we bring God on the scene, truth will prevail because He is the reality of truth. So when we pray, God will begin to bring truth to those who are living in deception. And we need to pray like never before. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, everybody. If you want to contact me, you can send me an email at contact@SharonBoland.com. Contact@SharonBoland.com. We'll see you again on Friday.